This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد. We begin by mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His peace and His blessings upon our beloved, our Habib, our role model. We'll give up our mom and dad for His sake, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And before I jump into my topic, I would like to thank all of you for attending. Jazakum Allahu khairan. May Allah bless you. May Allah make you happy. May Allah lift your hardships. Coming on a Saturday morning where you're already in school all week, then you still come to school. Today, alhamdulillah, the best school, inshallah, where Allah is being glorified. And we say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we talk about the greatest generation. That's the best school in the world. Yes or no? Allah says in the Quran, and who is better than the one who calls people to Allah? So may Allah make us all callers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'd like to also thank all the volunteers, those behind the scenes, recording team, Jazakum Allah khair, everybody, thank you so much. And before I jump, one last comment, inshallah. Thank you so much for the introduction. It's a little bit of an overpraise, nothing special about me. First time to meet me, nothing special about it at all. Whatever success is from the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if any one of you, including myself, once again, anyone in this room, including myself, you attribute your success to yourself, you're a loser. Well, I'll say it one more time. If you ever attribute your success to yourself, you're a loser. Success is attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you make a mistake, attribute it to yourself. Wonderful job. When Qarun, he says, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. Qarun said, I got my money, I got all that luxury, I got all that stuff from my own wealth. What did Allah do to him? فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. We destroyed him and his wealth. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always remind us where we came from, an egg and a sperm. And we have to remind ourselves that the end of our life is a dead body that not our own families will be able to withstand, and they will bury us. And in between, as some scholars have said, we are a bucket that holds waste. May Allah keep us humble and keep us sincere, all of us. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. So you guys ready to go into the topic, inshallah? So we got just a few minutes, inshallah. Ready? You know, there's no bright future to a nation that does not know about its bright past. Correct? There's no bright future to a nation that does not know the bright past. Nation after nation seeks to have inspiration from its previous heroes and previous role models and those who brought dignity to that nation, correct? There's no nation on the face of this earth that is far more deserving to be proud, to be inspired, to be motivated, to seek honor than our nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this is the best nation of all time. And this is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where He said, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. That's what He said, Allah, you were the best nation ever came to earth. And that starts with the batch of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all his companions and all those who follow in their footsteps. May Allah make you and I among those on the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best nation ever. But why are we the best nation? Three elements. You take one out, we're not a best nation. We're probably the worst nation. May Allah protect us. Three conditions. Number one, you tell people that which is good. Hey, listen, did you do your duhur prayers? Did you respect your parents? You tell them that which is good. Number two, you warn them of that which is bad. Hey, you shouldn't be talking like that to your neighbor. You shouldn't be doing that to your colleague. You shouldn't be looking at that person of the opposite gender like that. You shouldn't be saying these words. You do these two things. You tell them what is good. You warn them of what's bad. And number three, you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa tu'minuna billah. Brothers and sisters, when we talk about this nation and how it was risen, the greatest generation are the Sahaba, correct? Now all the Sahaba are out there. There are over 100,000 of the companions. And what's a Sahabi? What's a Sahabi, companion? Someone who met the Prophet, who was a Muslim and died as a Muslim. Fair enough. So out of the 100,000 plus companions, I was honored. Yes, yes, I am honored to bring up his name. I am honored to speak about him. It is none other than the one who was promised Jannah even though he was still alive walking on earth. Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. Uthman bin Affan was born approximately 5 to 6 years after the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Uthman radiallahu an, as he was getting older and older, he had such great character. He was so loved by the people. Akhlaq, well mannerism with his parents, neighbors, people, never cheats, never lies. You know what people used to say? Wallahi, this statement will shake you to show you how much he was loved. The mother used to tell her baby, the following. Check this out. She said, Uhibbuka warrahman, hubba Quraishin li Uthman. She tells her son, Wallahi, I love you. Oh my son, oh my daughter, oh my baby. I swear by Ar-Rahman, I love you the way the Quraysh, they love Uthman. Allahu Akbar. That's how much Uthman was loved by his people. Uthman bin Affan, his nature was pure, and he grew up with that pure nature. In an authentic narration, he says, Wallahi, I never committed zina. None of these major sins, may Allah protect you and I from it. And if anyone fell to it, then may Allah allow us to return back to him in repentance. That is truthful, Amir Rabbil Alameen. Uthman bin Affan, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq accepts Islam. Ali bin Abi Talib accepts Islam. Zayd ibn Haritha accepts Islam. Three men. The fourth one, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, goes to Uthman bin Affan, tells him about Islam. Allah is one, this man is the Prophet of Allah. In matter of minutes or so, the same day he accepts Islam. Allahu Akbar. No argumentation, let me go pray istikhara, none of that stuff. I accept Islam, right? You know, he went in. May Allah make us steadfast, Amir Rabbil Alameen. May Allah make you all see Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. Uthman bin Affan, once he accepted Islam, he was very steadfast. Nothing will shake him. His own uncle, Al-Hakam ibn Abi al-As, Al-Hakam bin Abi al-As, his uncle, when he heard Uthman accepted Islam, he did not accept that as an uncle. He tied up Uthman and he placed him. He says, Atarghabu, are you willing to let go of the religion of your forefathers and accept this whole new religion that is coming up? I will never untie you until you let go of Islam. Uthman bin Affan, he said, Wallahi la ada'ahu abadan wa la ufariqo. He told his uncle, Wallahi al-azim, I will never let go of Islam. May Allah keep us strong, people. None of us are tied. Are you tied up? We shouldn't be so laxed with leaving the rules of Islam, yes or no? You have a government in a way that helps you, yes or no? We live in a way a peaceful land. You're not being tied up. He was tied up. And he says, Wallahi, I will not leave a single part of Islam. May Allah keep us strong with every part of Islam. So Uthman bin Affan, when he was so steadfast, his uncle realized there's no point of keeping you here. Then he untied him and he left. Islam was being prosecuted. Can you appreciate Uthman bin Affan? At one point, the demographics, the population count, the males, there were four Muslims, yes? He was the fourth one. He himself was 25% of the population count. Allahu Akbar. Uthman bin Affan, as Islam was rising bit by bit, people sought to ruin the life and the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yes or no? Now, two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam were engaged to two sons of Abu Lahab. Pressure from Abu Lahab, pressure from the evildoers towards the two sons of Abu Lahab to cause what? Cause turmoil, cause ruin, the emotions, make a chaos in the family and make the two engagements broken. And they were forced and they were pushed and they ruined the engagement of Ruqayya and Ummi Kulthum, the daughters of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who comes again? Uthman bin Affan. They thought, the people, we ruined the family. La wallahi, you're wrong. You made the family stronger. Guess who is it proposing to marry Ruqayya? Uthman bin Affan. And he marries the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Time passes by and passes by. And they do the first emigration ever of the Muslims. From Mecca to where? Abyssinia. May Allah protect you all. And may Allah guide the people of Abyssinia today and keep them steadfast upon the truth. So they went, then they eventually came back and they did the other immigration to Medina. Allahu Akbar. When they went to the Medina, the first major battle, the battle of Badr. Uthman bin Affan wanted to go and join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, listen, your wife, what's her name? Ruqayya, may Allah protect us. Ruqayya, may Allah allow us to see her. Ruqayya, the Prophet's daughter, the wife of Uthman, is very sick. She's so ill. So the Prophet told Uthman, stay behind, take care of your wife. This is a nice lesson to learn from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Prophet will never tell you to do something except that it's more rewarding than the thing that you left. Yes or no? Correct? So him taking care of his wife was more rewarding to him than going for jihad with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yes or no? I tried to tell that to myself. You know why? Because I was asked to lead the Hajj group this year. I have my wife, 3 kids, expecting a child, the 4th one. So I'm telling myself, you know, Uthman bin Affan did not go with the Prophet. So I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm just saying this as a lesson. I pray to Allah that whatever reward I get by staying in Dearborn, Michigan, will be more than going to Hajj in Mecca. Allahu Akbar, right? You have to see the priorities. The reward is there, inshallah. Ramadan is coming up. Uthman is teaching me priorities. Rasulullah is teaching me priorities. Ramadan is coming up, inshallah, yeah? May Allah make you all witness the month of Ramadan. What happens in Ramadan? Mama keeps inviting people, right? She keeps calling everybody. A couple phones even. One phone here, one phone there. Inshallah, 6 p.m. on May 23rd for you. And you're like, Mama, come on. Right? It's very difficult. I want to go pray Taraweeh. I tell you, and Allah is going to hold me accountable, your service to your mom and dad for iftar will be far more rewarding, inshallah, than your praying of your Taraweeh. Are you guys with me? Priorities, people. Family comes first. Our constitution in Islam, number one constitution is وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا. Worship Allah alone. Constitution. Number two, what is it? وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ. Allahu Akbar. Mom and dad come next, right? So we're learning. Then the spouse comes in the picture. So Rasulullah ﷺ told Uthman the following, and look at the honor. Look at the honor. He says, إِنَّ لَكَ أَجْرَ رَجُلٍ مِّمَّنْ شَهِدَ بَدْرًا وَسَهْمًا. This is Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet ﷺ told Uthman, you care for your wife and you will get the same reward as the ones who went to Badr. Now, some of you may not know the reward of going to Badr. I'll give you just one. Those who went to Badr amongst the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, are ranked amongst the best group of companions. Remember, at the beginning of my talk, over 100,000 plus companions, yes? The best of groups is the ones who went to Badr. So Uthman is part of that. So Uthman is one of the greatest of companions. May Allah be pleased with him, even though he was still in Medina caring for his wife. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes back from the battle of Badr. But he has the tough news. Ruqayya has passed away. Uthman is very sad. But once he passed away, when she passed away, what happened? After some time later, another connection of in-laws. Yes, in-laws. Uthman and Rasulullah, how? Ruqayya passed away, but Uthman bin Affan, the Prophet ﷺ accepted the marriage between Uthman and Kulthum. Allahu Akbar. Hassan al-Basri said, we do not know of any human being on earth that ever married 2 daughters of a prophet. Allahu Akbar. One passed away, married the second one. How honorable is that status? My father-in-law is Muhammad ﷺ. That's how Uthman radiallahu anhu was. Moving on. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the following. Authentic narration at Tirmidhi. He said, Ashratun fil Jannah. Y'all are ready for the quiz? Ready for the quiz? He says, 10 are the people of Jannah. I'll give you the first 4 because it's easy. Wallahi, give me the first one. Abu Bakr, wa Umar, wa Uthman, wa Ali radiallahu anhu. Number 5. Wa Zubair, wa Talha. وعبد الرحمن وأبو عبيدة وسعد بن أبي وقاص. And the last one, سعيد بن زيد. You're like, I don't know. Inshallah, watch the video maybe when it's uploaded, inshallah. May Allah bless you all. Say ameen. May Allah make you all people of Jannah. Look at the honor. And the guy, and Uthman is still walking on earth. Like, you know, like, oh my God, this guy going to Jannah. How do you know? The Prophet said so, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? You don't go, you know, we discuss who's the greatest of all time. Who's the GOAT, LeBron or Michael Jordan, صح? لا أخي كوبي لا it's Shaquille O'Neal. Do you know that the Sahaba in authentic narration had a discussion of who's the GOAT? For the elders, GOAT is greatest of all time. There's no offense here. Alright? Who is it? They actually discussed it. Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased by both of them. He said, we used to talk, who's the greatest companion ever? So they said, by consensus, it's Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. No, don't talk too much. Khalas, it's over. Then number 2 is Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Ibn Umar then says, Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anh. This is the order. That's how we see as Sahaba. He said, then after that, we stopped really looking into it. And we said, you know, there's difference of opinion. Allahu Akbar. So all these things to appreciate. That's our discussion as a 15-year-old, 25-year-old, all whatever year old you may be. The real goats to talk about are the Sahaba. And that's how you should know their names like that. May Allah protect us and honor us. Uthman bin Affan, they go to Medina. Look what happens. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba are struggling very much. The water in Medina is not pure and clean. May Allah grant us pure and clean water. Say ameen. And to our brothers and sisters in Flint as well, ameen rabbil alameen. So they went to Medina, no pure water. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, there's only one main source. It's called Bi'ri Ruma, the well of Ruma. If we are able to have this well, they'll be fantastic. But the one who owned that well was stingy. The one who owned that well was abusing people's hardships and charging big money. May Allah protect us. Our pharmacists here and doctors, please don't abuse us. May Allah protect you. Our mechanics, jazakumullahu khairan, don't do this to us. We trust you. You're the only source perhaps. May Allah keep you using you as means of assistance to the people. So the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من يشتري بئر روما فيجعل فيها دلوه مع دلاء المسلمين بخير له منها في الجنة. This is authentic in Nisa'i. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who is able to negotiate and purchase that well, and we will be able as Muslims to benefit. They're struggling. The guy is abusing the life out of us. We can't pay all that money. So who comes? Who's coming to the shortage of the water issue? Uthman bin Affan. Does his negotiation. So what's the deal? How we can do this? He's like, I'm not selling you anything. You know how much money I make out of this? I'm not selling it to you. Uthman bin Affan says, okay, how about we make a deal? What is it? I buy half. He's like, how in the world do you buy half a well? Like, how can you buy half a well? He's like, simple. One day the well is mine, one day the well is yours. It's like, pretty cool. Miskin, doesn't know what he's doing, right? He's like, sure, we'll do that. Guess what happens? He pays big money for half the well. So all the Muslims came at which day? Uthman's day. And the Muslims, jazakumullah khair, since back in time, they filled the jugs for both days. Because the next day, I'm not going to the other guy. So I fill enough from the day of Uthman. And he's not looking for compensation. No. Let me rephrase that. He's looking for compensation, but from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Prophet says, whoever buys it, they will have a well in Jannah. So then the other man, he realized no one is getting water from me on my day. Everybody's going on Uthman's day. So he tells Uthman, how about you buy the other half? Can you buy like the other half, bro? Like, I'm struggling. So Uthman buys the whole well with big bucks. And he was promised Jannah once more. He didn't say, I got it once, people. Can anybody go for buying the well? No, I'll go again and again and again and again and again. Allahu Akbar. So don't ever be bored of fundraisers. Donate every good cause, inshallah. May Allah bless your wealth. And remember this lesson. There's no better investment in your life to bring you more money. Yes, cash, more money. You're looking at what? At stocks, you're looking at Bitcoin, you're looking at investing in cars, you're looking at investing in here and there. There's no better investment. I'm talking even financially, not just hasanat, than you putting your money away for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give it to the right cause. May Allah grant us wisdom and allow us to know our priorities right. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Then what happened, brothers and sisters? Muslims are coming to the deen. More people accepting Islam to the extent that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now, not just shortage of water, we have a shortage of prayer space. Can you believe the masjid was packed? People accepting Islam. People praying in the road. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عندما المسجد ضاق بأهله, when the masjid was so crowded, you know, the fire marshal would have made a big deal out of the masjid maybe at that day. Allahu a'lam. So what happened? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this. Did you guys get tired of saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, من يشتري بقعة آل فلان? Who would buy the land adjacent to the masjid? Like happens today, doesn't it? Who would buy the land, you know? Who would buy the warehouse next to us? Right? Who would buy the parking lot? Who would buy the apartment building? This is happening from the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is in the Tirmidhi. Who would buy it? And what happens? And Allah will give him a land in Jannah. Who comes again? Uthman, you're already going to Jannah. You already got a well in Jannah. You're set, bro. Alhamdulillah, Allahumma barik. He's like, no, I'll take care of it. So he buys the land, and that masjid is expanding. Allahu Akbar. Then there's another shortage. Another fundraiser again? What's going on? But this shortage is for security. The Romans are realizing the Muslims are growing. Hiraql, the leader of the Romans, has suggested we have to go into Medina and attack there. Go to their home court and ruin them all. So Rasulullah ﷺ wants to make a statement. No, you're not coming to us. I'm coming up to you north. So he calls all the brothers, all the mujahideen, as many as possible to join the army. But eventually what happens? We don't have enough assets. I got enough bodies, but not enough weapons. I got enough people, but not enough rides. I got enough people, but not enough food and drink. So who comes? Uthman bin Affan. May Allah be pleased with him. And he came and he dropped 1,000 dinars of gold. What is that worth? Allah knows best. I try to do little calculations, but just to make it simple, it's within the millions of dollars today. Millions of, like, first $50,000. Allahu Akbar, it's the doctor who makes $2.5 million. He donated $50,000. Allahu Akbar, look, takbir, which is great. I'm not belittling it. Relax, rich people, okay? But what I'm saying is that he gave multiple millions of dollars. So he is your role model or rich people, yes or no? We want religiosity like Uthman. Gives the money, and he's the one who taught you and I how to make wudu, by the way. What do you mean? Much of the hadith that tells you how to make wudu, who is the narrator? Uthman bin Affan. He says, whoever makes wudu properly, follows it up with 2 rak'at, Allah forgives all their sins. Can we do it today in honor to Uthman and hoping he gets the reward of what we do and following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Make wudu, pray 2 rak'at. Whatever sin you made will be forgiven, inshallah. Fair enough. And Uthman comes and drops all the money. You know what the Prophet says? Look at this. Wallahi, if all what I said in the lecture is this hadith, I am done. To show you the status and the honor of Uthman bin Affan. When the Prophet got the money, he started getting the coins and he's shaking it like that, and he says, "Ma darra Uthman ma amila ba'd al-yawm." Wallahi, basically, whatever Uthman does wrong after today, it will not affect him. It's over. You know when you get your acceptance to university, then your grades drop at the finals. Like, oh, I just got acceptance. So Uthman bin Affan, he's like, he's all good. It's over. Uthman, it's obviously not a green light to do haram. May Allah forgive us and protect us. But you're all set. You're all set. May Allah be pleased by you. With the last few minutes that we have, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq comes as a khalifa after the death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is a leader. He's pleased with Uthman. He dies. Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu becomes the khalifa, pleased with Uthman. Then he dies. And Uthman bin Affan, in his 70s, accepts the leadership position and becomes the third khalifa of the Muslims. And the people from the east and the west and the enemies of Islam, they thought, Umar died. Thank God. We got a guy in the 70s, right? Miskin guy. Can't control anything. Wallahi, Uthman bin Affan got his youth back in a way that you don't imagine. Islam expanded in the time of Uthman more than Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar, for your information, in case you never knew. Uthman bin Affan, Islam from the west side reached to Sudan and Abyssinia. From the east side, it went as far as India and China. That's Uthman bin Affan. You don't mess around with a 70-year-old guy. That's another lesson I take from it. Who's pious? May Allah allow to bless all our elders. Say ameen. We know for the elders, one hadith for you. May Allah make you happy for the white hair that you have. Brother, watch what you say. I got you. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah would to honor. Allah shows respect to the people with white hair. I had one yesterday, I saw it. And I said, you know what? Wallah, I'm keeping it. You see, the deen makes you proud that you're getting old. Allahu Akbar. The deen makes you proud that you have daughters. Yes or no? Allahu Akbar. This is our deen. To be proud, alhamdulillah. Because what matters is not the outer appearance as much as the inner appearance. May Allah make us beautiful inside and outside, ya Allah, for your sake as well. All right? So moving forward, as Islam is expanding and about to end, inshallah, this is the sunnah of life. The stronger Muslims become, step by step, hypocrites pop up. Remember that. When do hypocrites shine? The more the Muslims get stronger. So this means the stronger Muslims become, the more hypocrites pop up from within. Wallahi, the fear, brothers and sisters, is not from the enemy that comes from the front. The fear is from the enemy that comes from the back. May Allah protect us. The enemy is within. We lock our masajid. Everything is fine. Whatever the case is. But the enemy is within the masjid itself. The enemy might be someone behind the beard. Just like this. I'm not saying I'm the enemy, relax, okay? But just like this, right? The enemy can be behind the hijab. May Allah protect us, which is the level of hypocrisy. May Allah protect our brothers, sisters, myself from hypocrisy. Even Umar radiallahu anhu was nervous. Am I a hypocrite? So you all have to kind of wonder about that. May Allah keep you steadfast. And they went, and there's a long story. My time is pretty much done. But to let you know that the people sought to make accusations at the end of Uthman's life. He is in his 80s, after all the honor that he has done, all the reward, all the praise from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Guess what happened at the end of the day, brothers and sisters? They went around him to go and assassinate him. It's a long story. But at the end of the day, hypocrites have risen, but wallahi, they will eventually go away. And the banner will be with the believers, inshallah, at the end of the day. And Uthman bin Affan, radiallahu anhu, the last of narrations that we have, he woke up in the morning in authentic narration, and he said, I'm fasting today. They say, why? He said, I had a dream. Last night, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr and Umar, they told me, you will break our fast with us. You will break our fast with us. So Uthman knew, this is my time. My time is pretty much up. So he covered himself. Why? Because he knew he will be killed. He did not want his awra to be exposed. May Allah cover the awra of our sisters and brothers. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. He's about to die and he's worried about his body showing. And he's not going to be held accountable. But let me tie up my clothes not to show any awra. Then they came and he gave the Quran and he was reading the Quran and they came and they killed them at that point. May Allah be pleased with Uthman radiallahu anh. May Allah be pleased with Ali radiallahu anh. May Allah be pleased with the Sahaba, all of them radiallahu anhum. Jazakumullahu khairan for your patience. May Allah bless you, protect you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.